Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoyed your weekend. Couple of ways you can get a hold of me. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, tuttle@gmail.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail and even a text, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. Gotta tell you, some pretty big upsets over the weekend, especially on Saturday when it came to the NFL. And I thought we were gonna see another Brady comeback, kind of like when the Atlanta Falcons were up on the Patriots by so much. They ended up tying it up. Everybody thought it was going to go to overtime. And it was just that type of luck for the Bucs this weekend, especially on Sunday. It just was not their day. I knew straight out of the box, Brady just looked a little off. And he, like in true fashion, why he is the GOAT, he was able to come out in the second half and do an amazing job. But the offensive line, oh my God, man. What the hell was that about? Brady got a busted lip. Still played. He got his first unpersonal foul or unprofessional foul. I don't know if they call it technicals in the NFL, but it got him 15 yards. It was the first time he had ever had that in his life because he took a cheap shot from one of the Rams players right underneath the chin and the face mask. You see that happen a lot to quarterbacks. He got a little bit of a busted lip, but come on. Go home. Giselle will put a little bit of ice on that. Maybe get down there and mwah, mwah, you know what I'm talking about. But, you know, and also the defense. The defense gave up a lot of big plays this weekend. They gave up that really, really long touchdown. And then how do you let them drive the field that far in that little bit of time? And then it all came down. Well, matter of fact, I think three out of the four games ended up coming down to game-winning field goals this weekend. So it just wasn't meant for the Bucs. I know there's a lot of rumors, a lot of talk out there that Brady might not be back. I just don't see Brady. Look, I mean, he may never win another Super Bowl. And guess what? He's still the GOAT. But Brady doesn't seem like the type of guy that's going to go out a loser. And I'm not even saying that he is a loser if he does. Anyways, it was a good run, boys. I don't even know why I said that. I guess it's because I've been working in Tampa for so long the past decade. A lot of the supporters of the Tuttle Daily Podcast are in the Tampa area. It's the best city when it comes to downloads for people that listen. I want to get into a story that I thought was pretty ridiculous. You know, we had monkeys in Duluth Springs. We on the nature trail there, they had monkeys out there because they had like a little zoo type area out there. And now in Florida, we got pythons, we got iguanas, we got so many invasive species. But there was this accident where I guess a tractor trailer carrying a bunch of medical research monkeys got into an accident. I think some of them escaped. And I just cracked up when I heard this news report.
Before we begin with breaking news, four monkeys are on the loose tonight in central Pennsylvania.
It's just not one of the things that you would see coming right out of the gate. Breaking news. Must have been a little bit of a slow news day. Maybe some of the violent murders in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania it had to take a back burner. Because I got to tell you, four monkeys on the loose. Four medical monkeys. Who knows? These monkeys could be holding the next pandemic and they're out there running around. You're going to have Cuba Gooding Jr. or, yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr. is going to be out there trying to lure these little medical monkeys, these outbreak monkeys, hitting them with a blow dart. Who knows, man? I mean, it could be like chronic wasting disease or something like that that these monkeys have, but four monkeys are on the loose in Pennsylvania.
Yes, we said monkeys. Let's go right to Newswatch 60's Nikki Cries. She is live near Danville tonight to tell us what is going on. Nikki.
Well, Lisa and Scott, according to state police, a truck carrying around 100 monkeys.
You know that this truck driver, he probably is just waiting to get to the next truck stop. Find you a loose lot lizard out there. Maybe buy some of that high-speed chicken feed, if you know what I'm talking about. Methamphetamines. Because the guy's probably been up for about 4 days. He's like, man, I got to get these monkeys to the next state. The boss is going to be, I'm going on a little sleep. I got to avoid all the truck weigh stations. I got to fib my calendar with how many hours I'm putting in there. Because you know a lot of the truckers do that. I think it might be digital now. So this guy probably was just looking forward to not paying attention, was going to see old Sally. I don't know why I said Sally. That's my mom's name. Anyways, I'll go with it. Sally, the lot lizard, at the next truck stop. And the guy just, she's really, really good at doing some certain things, if you know what I'm talking about, guys. And the guy got distracted. He locked the brakes up, burned them right off. And about 100 medical monkeys got out.
Collided with a tractor trailer late this afternoon here on Route 54, just off of the on-ramp of Interstate 80 near Danville. And troopers confirmed to us tonight, four of the monkeys got free. They are now believed to be on the loose somewhere in the Danville area.
You know, I don't know what type of area this is in, but you know there's some like hunting enthusiasts out there. And they got like a bucket list of animals that they're wondering. They're like, hey, we got some, I can't even do a Philadelphia accent. So, hey, we got some exotic animals out there. I can only do a Southern accent. We got some exotic animals out there, and I want to bag a medical research monkey. There's only four of them. I think we can get them.
State police and the State Game Commission are actively searching for the primates at this hour. They're even using a helicopter.
Come on. Are we really? Is Philadelphia out there using a helicopter? Are they using some of that heat-censored cameras to be able to find some monkeys that are hanging out in a tree or something? You got to get some of them. You at least got to get all of one sex, because the last thing you want is a bunch of monkeys, medical monkeys, banging, having babies, and then you're going to be overrun. Philadelphia is going to be overrun with a bunch of medical monkeys.
Again, the search is on for those four monkeys here in the Danville area. That crash happened here along Route 54 around 3:30 this afternoon. We will keep you updated here on Newswatch 16 and at WNEP.com. Nikki Cries, Newswatch 16, live tonight in Montour County.
I'm going to stay on top of this story. We're going to do Medical Monkey Watch until all four monkeys are brought to justice. They're able to be brought in, give these medical monkeys the perp walk, get them back safely. Hopefully they don't infect any of these other wildlife that are out there, native wildlife. If I'm being honest, these are probably STD medical monkeys. They're probably like infecting them with herpes, the HIV, all types of stuff. You're going to have a lot of herpes HIV medical monkeys running around Philadelphia. This could be just like right out of a plot of the Planet of the Apes and stuff. That's how it starts. These monkeys are going to be all mad because we're pumping them full of HIV and herpes, and they're going to come back. They're going to come back and get us. And we're going to rule the day that some trucker was looking forward to getting with Sally at the next truck stop because she's one of the best lot lizards in Philadelphia. And that's how the whole world comes crashing down. All right, guys, welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Really, really excited about my next guest. He is calling from Compton, California. Jay Saul, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. How's everything, bro?
Good, man. It's a little rainy out here in Florida today. You know, we get a lot of rain. It's a subtropical place. Florida's a crazy place. Have you ever been to Florida?
I have not. No, I have not been to Florida. But, you know, it's been a little rainy over here, too, man. So, we're there with you. It's been kind of weird over here past couple of weeks. It's like it's sunny one day and the next 3 days it's rain. And yeah, it's weird.
Well, you guys went there. I mean, it was kind of bone dry there for a while in California, right? You guys were having all. Yeah.
We had like a drought and everything. Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, that's the thing about California, man. They got a lot of the natural disasters. Here in Florida, we got the hurricanes. When we get the hurricanes, we're screwed. But you guys got earthquakes, mudslides, fires. I mean, violence.
Right, you know, right.
I mean, we have a lot of violence here in Florida. But Jay Saul, before we get into the interview, tell my audience a little bit about yourself, because I was checking out some of your music, man. I got to tell you, you see a lot of people that want to be artists, and it's either the production is not on point, the content is not on point. You know, I like people that discuss issues or real life situations and stuff instead of just talking about what I have and you don't have and all the money I have and stuff.
Right.
Tell my audience a little bit about what you got going on.
So pretty much, man, I'm an independent artist from Compton. I've been doing this for like 15 years, man. Just grinding, you know, trying to figure out my operations and just building up as an artist, man. It all started when I used to just freestyle in school. So I used to just freestyle, man. And then it gradually got into like me going to a studio and recording myself. And then from like going to the studio and then trying to, you know, get these records done and then investing in my own studio. And then after investing in my own studio, going into like the production area and trying to create beats, you know, and then once I figured out like the production side, then I started reading books on like engineering and finding out how to like just make the sounds sound dope, you know, instead of it's a lot more to just putting sounds together and thinking it's going to be okay. Like, no, like you're talking about, you know, just like the production value quality and really focusing on like my lyrics at one point and then my delivery, because it was just practicing one thing at a time, man. And you know, through it all, man, through the 15 years, you know, I've been through ups and downs, whether it be in like music, a lot of like setbacks, a lot of failures. Like in order for you to succeed, I believe you have to fail. Like that's just part of the process. So that's kind of what, you know, I had to go through as an independent artist. Like I had to see a lot of failures, man. And you know, even now, you know, you see some, but it's more when you get those successes and you're reaching those goals, it's just a lot more it's
rewarding. It's more rewarding, man.
Yes, definitely a lot more rewarding. So it's like even lately, like I've been focusing on like the marketing side, and like now I'm finally getting like placed on like music playlists, and then I'm understanding like influencer marketing. So my Instagram, my TikTok influencer marketing. So like people can use the record, and now that's going to be in play like within like the next 8 days. So I'm looking for like some type of viral moment that I can emphasize on. Once. Yes, that's all. And I feel like that's just what it is, man. Once you get that one record in that one moment, like all you have to do is just emphasize on it and be ready for it, because, you know, you don't want to go viral and you don't have anything ready. When I have like records and albums already in the vault, like I'm ready, the content, like I'm able to create it. Like my setup here, like it's very easy for me to create.
It looks good, man.
Oh, thank you.
It does look good. Like I'm getting my stuff set up. You know, I've worked in radio for the past 22 years, and you know, I've had an ear. I want everything to sound right. For a longest time, I was doing my daily podcast right off of my iPhone. I bought a little Rode microphone, lightning connector, and you know, I'm good at doing post-production stuff, adding the dynamic processing and all that stuff that goes into it. But Jay Saul, so let's talk about failure and stuff like that, because you brought up a great point. I really do think you have to fall before you hit the top, because I mean, look in sports. Okay.
Right.
MJ had to lose a bunch. He had a hard time getting past the Pistons. And then once he got past those guys, he ended up winning. He had 2 three-peats, you know, and I'm not trying to compare us to MJ. Nobody is MJ, but right. I mean, it does show you that failure is a teaching moment.
Right. Right.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, just, yeah. But like, yeah, those failures, man, it just comes with like, people who, you know, you had in your team. You'll see a lot of people like come in and out. You know, some people that you kind of building that belief system. But when things get hard, then you kind of you start to see like the complicated road test other people around you that says like they believe in what's going on and they want to be there. And then when it starts hitting the fan, and they're just like, oh, they start slowly fading in the shadows. And sometimes you just got to notice those kind of, you know, they'll notice those people and notice like, all right, who really stuck with me and who really stuck around when, you know, things were really down and out. And I got to the point where I got used to it. Like, I'm not scared to fail. Like, I'm not scared to fail. Like, it'll be points where I'm dropping music and, you know, say I won't get like, hey, like, this is like, you know, there's people talking to you and, oh, we can do this for you. There's so many opportunities. And then you get there and then that opportunity doesn't really fall through. Like, that's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of people who say they're going to be able to like give the world to you. But the thing is, I feel like you got to give the world to yourself. You know, like, yeah, that's me. Yes, you do need to meet those people who know such and such. Sometimes that's just a good way. And you know, you gain those friendships through it. Cause I have friends, I have like real like friends in the industry. So I'm just like, all right, man, like whether it be like my engineer, like Shan McMullen, she's super dope. Like, she's touched like a lot of my records, like after it's been done. So it's like also outsourcing too. Like, yes, I have learned a lot myself, like, you know, to do like the audio engineering stuff, but
you get stretched then. Yeah. You get stretched then, though. You can't do everything by yourself. So a lot of musicians pull from their earlier years where they grew up from. You know, I'm not like cornering hip hop artists, but like, mm-hmm, I'm saying all musicians kind of like to talk about where they were raised and the experiences and stuff. Right. And when everybody hears Compton, like, you know, everybody's like, oh, man, you know, because white America, middle America, they all think of Compton of everything that they see from like Boys in the Hood and and all types of movies and stuff. Can you talk a little bit about was there any struggles growing up and how that motivated you and helped you come up with content and the struggle about things to talk about?
No, definitely. I mean, growing up in like, you know, 90s kids, so growing up in Compton during the 90s, it was like not as bad as like what I heard like from the 80s, because my pops always stayed here. He's like, oh man, it used to be worse. But you know, in the 90s, yeah, I did witness a lot, man. I seen like, you know, people doing like drive-bys down my block, you know, like seeing like people having shootouts at the corner of my house, and I'm just like, we're outside, you know, being kids and chilling, and then you just see something going down at the corner of the block, you're like, oh crap, like that's the dude. When we were walking, like we went to the corner store. We were coming back from the corner store, and like, you know, we were with my friends, and then a guy kind of like creeped up on a bike, and then he was asking one of my friends questions, and we had no clue. You know, we were kids, so we were just walking. He's like, oh yes, he was asking me questions because there was something that just happened. I guess the street stuff was going down, so we're like, oh okay. Mm-hmm. That same guy that was at the corner of the block actually was talking to somebody in a car, and I guess the person in the car said the wrong thing that he was looking for, and he just started shooting inside the car. So I'm just like, crazy, man. Another time was like when a guy was just pushing down the block with a bike. He was pushing down the block with a bike, and then when he reached we're just waxing the curve, because I used to skateboard, so we're waxing the curve, and then we see the guy like pushing down on the bike, and then he stops at the corner, and then he's like repping his thing, and then he starts shooting. So I'm just like, yo, those experiences were shocking to me. I'm just like, yo, I don't ever want to be a part of that, you know, like I just don't want to get involved.
How was your family life growing up? Like, you know, like you know, like I said, a lot of America only sees what they see in the movies and stuff like that, or right, or the news and stuff. Like, I mean, what kind of family did you grow up in? Like, big family? Did you have both parents and stuff there? Because the only reason I ask that is because, you know, like I said, in the movies are like, oh, you know, single mom, or, you know, just the dad went to go get cigarettes at the convenience store and never came back, right, or anything like that. I'm not saying that's the case, but you know, like, people get it twisted a little bit of how it really is.
Right. Well, I mean, like, honestly, like, I have both my parents, so that's a blessing. But, you know, as we got older, it was mainly like my situation was like with my siblings. So like, I would see like my siblings go down like a road where they shouldn't have gone down, which is like, you know, messing with like being drugged, you know, being around people who are around drugs, and, you know, them dabbling in it and seeing like, you know, my younger sister, like, kind of like, you know, break apart, and, you know, see that kind of ruin her life, and how that affected like my family, you know, with us, like, you know, dealing with, you know, her trials, because, you know, love is pain is deep, you know, and when you love somebody, okay? She's still, you know, out there.
I'm not trying to pry, man.
No, it's all good. No, it's all good. Yeah. I mean, but like, you know, I love her. I mean, I seen her like a couple of days ago. She'll stop here and there. And, you know, some days she looks good, some days she doesn't. And you just got to kind of like deal with that. And it's just like, damn, like it's crazy because, you know, we take care of her daughters and, you know, my parents have adopted them. And it's a tough situation, man. When you kind of see that, when you see how bad, you know, life of like, you know, people who are involved in that drug life, how much it affects a lot of the other people, a lot of people around them. And I had to witness that. And I had to, you know, take in that pain, and not just with myself, like not just how I feel towards my sister and how much love I got, but like seeing my parents go through that, you know. And I kind of feel like, you know, with like since 2008, it's really dragged us, you know, it got bad in like 2008 and all the way up to like, it's better now. But like 2018, it was like 10 years, bro, just like fathom. Like it was this crazy stuff going down. It was like either one thing or the next, you know. It's just like she's good one moment and then like she's pregnant, you know, like another year and then pregnant again. So it's a lot, man.
You know, a lot of people look down on drug addicts, like, or people that get addicted. Like they're a lesser type of person, and I really don't ever think that, because a lot of people is like, oh, just quit or just do this, just do that,
right?
You know, here in Florida we had a big problem with the pain pills, the pain pill addiction here in Florida. And you know, a lot of people self-medicate, and by what I mean by that is they go through some type of trauma early on in their lives. They see something. And it's just weird because everybody just looks down, like, oh, you know, they could do better, or they're mooching off the system or anything like that. And right. That's not the case. You know, I think the war on drugs has been a big failure in this country because, you know, we're just locking up people that are buying drugs and they're not going after the people that are the high level type people, you know, the people that are preying on people's addictions,
right?
Because they're self-medicating and stuff.
Right. Right. No, and I agree to that, man. Cause I mean, they're not going towards the source. They're just trickling down. I mean, they always try to figure out, okay, how to get to it. But yeah, man, most of the high level people who aren't being dealt with. And, you know, it sucks, man. Cause a lot of those people don't, it's success or whatever they want to call that. I wouldn't even call it success. You know, it's short lived, you know, and you know, they don't understand the amount of damage that they do to other people's lives. Yeah.
Weed would help out a lot of stuff, man. Because yeah. I mean, that's the way I look at it though, is that, you know, tobacco and alcohol kills more people every single year. Right. I dare anybody to find one person that overdosed from weed because you're the only thing you're going to die from is probably obesity from, or you're having to buy new refrigerator doors every other month because you're opening every so often. You know, and I'm not trying to get all deep and stuff because I've looked into this. I've had my addiction problems. I was an alcoholic for the longest time, you know, because I was drinking. I went through a lot of childhood trauma when I was younger. It wasn't because of my parents.
Right.
Because, you know, like stuff happens to kids and kids don't feel like they can talk to their parents about stuff like this. And that's why a lot of younger adults and stuff go out and try to self-medicate when it comes to stuff like that.
Right. No, yeah, I agree, man. And it is legal out here, you know, in California. So
we got medical.
Medical. Oh, okay. You guys got the medical. Yeah. Bro, there was a shop open at like the corner of my block. Like they had like shops everywhere. So I'm like, oh, this thing is. Like about a year and a half ago, I'm like, oh, this is really legal. Like people are really out here. So I was like, that's cool. You know, I mean, it's a chill. Like you said, it's better than alcohol and everything else, man. Cause you know, and the tobacco. So it's like, yeah, man, if you want to, you know, chill, smoke some weed, cool, man. That's the vibe. That's the vibe, you know? Yeah. I mean, I used to back in the day, but I can't do it anymore, man. That's just me. Like, I don't ever spaz out on it. But it's just like, I don't know. It's just weird the way my brain functions on it. It's just not like, so I'm like, all right, I need to be like at 1,000%. It's just very weird, bro.
I get it. You seem like you're the type of person you like to be in control. You don't like to just like, oh man, because when you get high off of weed, you'll be like, man, did I say something wrong? Did I say the wrong word or something? You just want to make sure you're on top of your game. With me right now is Jay Salt. Jay Salt, tell my audience how they can check you out on social media and how they can find either your stuff, because you're doing a lot of Twitch stuff as well too, right?
Yeah, I'm doing the Twitch stuff. So I'm starting the game on Twitch. I mean, I've invested in my whole rig. So
what you playing?
So pretty much I want to like collab with other with bigger Twitch streamers. I mean, I like gaming, man. Like that's one of my things, bro. So I love gaming. So eventually if I could like, pop off with this music, then I would definitely want to transfer people and you know, start my Twitch dream. But I'm doing that now because I just want to get used to it and, you know, just get used to people in the chat and having conversations. And I have built some relationships. So it's pretty dope. So eventually, yes, I do want to get good at the Twitch thing after I do after I flourish in the music thing. But
Instagram,
yeah.
Where can they find you? Instagram, Twitter, yeah, Facebook, all that stuff.
So IG, Facebook, Twitter, you can find me at This Is JSOL. JSOL, JYSOL. And then on Apple Music, JSOL, and Spotify, JSOL.
Hey, JSOL, it's kind of, yeah, you did what I did, you know, because I was married. I got divorced in 2014, but my wife, she stayed on top of everything because I was working in radio. And then that's where like social media, like started like, you know, popping up. Cause I remember back in the day, MySpace, you remember we'd be on MySpace and you'd spend like all day trying to learn HTML coding and stuff. So you right. could, you could do all that stuff. And they made it so much easier. But like my wife, every time a social media account popped up, open, she would like automatically get Tuttle, T-U-D-D-L-E. So everything is just straight Tuttle. Even my email, it's Tuttle@gmail.com. Mm. So I was able to get, except TikTok. I slept on TikTok. I had to go with Tuttle on the radio, which really with my OCD and stuff drives me crazy every single time.
I think YouTube is like my only thing. They didn't have This Is JSOL, so I had to put JSOL 9000. So I was like,
oh, I hate when you have to add numbers and stuff. Because I'm YouTube.com/Tuttle. I was lucky enough to get on right there. So that's the only one, TikTok.com/Tuttle on the radio. It drives me crazy. But I mean, that's the way you got to be when you want to get yourself out there, because the market, it gets so diluted now, even with the podcast thing that I'm doing. There are so many people out there that want to do podcasts. It's the same thing as being a music artist.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, back in the day, it was all about, what radio station you could get to play your music, or you could get one little thing. But now there's so many other different type of avenues. And the way that I've looked at it, like you, back to what you said earlier, TikTok, you get one of your songs on there that everybody uses on a trend or a dance. That's what you need to do. You need to find a choreographer that you can come up with some creative dance, produce that first video, put it out there. And then right there, man. And I could be like, man, I talked to JSOL before he got big. Now he won't come on my show. He won't come on my show anymore.
Nah, I'll definitely come back on the show. What? Nah, but I feel like that, like when it comes to like TikTok too, like it's mainly like what can be a viral, like what can you make a viral moment after, like, off of the record? Like what's really standing out? Like there's always one part of a record where people like say it, you know, it's just like the statement of the record. Like, yo, I like this part, you know? And then that's when the DJ drops it. And then like that one part, you know, I feel like those, you got to find those sections in the song, or like what is like a certain point of the record conveying? Like where is it sounding either confident? What type of emotions happening? So that's kind of like what I was studying. I was trying to figure out, all right, man, what part of Payroll, which is like my single that's out, what part of
I
Payroll?
Did listen to a great hook to it, by the way.
Oh, thank you, bro. Thank you. So I was like, man, what part of Payroll is going to be? So I took the part where it's like the ending of the hook and the beginning of the second verse, you know, so because it's like it drops and then there's just like a whole confident flow that's happening after that, like in my lyric content. So I'm like, yo, they might be able to do something, either a dance, either like walk in a group, or they're just confident and like model like. So that's what kind of my idea that I pitched, but who knows? I'm waiting a couple of days. So we're about to see what the influencers do. Cause I let them, I want creators to be creators. My whole thing is I would hate for somebody to be like, hey, I want you to do it this way. But it's like, yo, well, you're not really, I know how to make things viral.
Yeah.
Let me do my thing. So I'm just gonna, all right, I'm gonna let the TikTokers do their thing and understand it and try to dissect it as much as I can, so I can start to make my own videos that go viral and have that, you know, that influencer. Oh,
no.
Yeah.
I agree though. You can put it out there, you know, because somebody could just stumble upon a great idea and then you're like, holy crap, this video's got like 1.5 million like views, or it's been favorited.
Right.
And then you take off. Have you ever thought about that? Like if somebody did make a TikTok video with your music and it just blew up, like would you like you know, not be one of those artists be like, ah, screw you. Or, I mean, I know for a fact I would hook somebody up if I don't have any musical talent. I have the worst rhythm in the world, so nobody's going to be doing any of my stuff. But what I'm trying to say, though, I would be like, hell yeah, man. I'd be like, yes, you're going to be a part of my crew.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Be a part of my entourage.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll definitely utilize the service, definitely connect with them, have them come out to shows, invite them to studio sessions. Like, hey, man, I want you to be a part of the team, because without the dance, without you making me that viral moment, man, I wouldn't be here. So, yeah, of course, bro, I'm always appreciative, and I try to stay as humble as possible, bro. And it's nothing, because, I mean, that's how I was raised. So, you know, I'm always going to, like, show love where love is needed. Oh, yeah.
Do artists beef anymore? Like, do they have, like, you know, get into... Because I really do think, now I could be wrong, but like I'm a big wrestling fan, being in the South and stuff like that and everything. I liked Andy Kaufman. Andy Kaufman, you know, he did that whole, you know, wrestling women to piss people off. And then he had Jerry the King Lawler slap him on Letterman. But it was all a work. It was all made up just to sell tickets and stuff. And back in the day, I always had this theory, even though, you know, Biggie and Tupac back in the day, that sold a lot of records. It sold a lot of records, but I just think it was a bunch of like fans or people that just are like a little too serious. Like, it just proves that they did a great job. But is beef still a thing when it comes to hip hop music, or is that kind of out the window?
I mean, I believe so. I think in some situations there is like real beef. There is real stuff, but in a lot of situations there's PR stunts. You know, I understand the game, like what you're saying about like the wrestling. Yeah, those are all PR stunts. What's gonna sell tickets? What's gonna sell records? You know, hey, like let's beef before both our albums drop. Like let's do this before both a single drop. And that does drive sales. But in some sense, where it's like, whether it be like really like hood people, or maybe it's like maybe the business side of it didn't go well, then there is some real beefs. You know, there is some real situations that are going on. And when they decide to talk about it, and that's when you just know, like, okay, where did this all originate from? Like, what's the backstory of it? And if it has something that's really like you could tell is real, because you can tell what's fake and what's real. So to me, you know, there's some things where I'm just like, okay, that's not.
I have a contact for the Island Boys. I think you and the Island Boys beefing would actually be really great. Like, no, I'm being dead ass serious, man.
We got to start some.
yeah, you and the Island Boys going. I think you can take both of them.
Let's go, bro. Does Island Boys? Let's make this viral moment. Let's make these sales, bro.
But does that upset you though sometimes? Or because I've been guilty of this, you know, being in entertainment, you compare yourself to other people's successes. And, you know, like I work my ass off. I spend hours thinking of things because I'm a radio guy. Like I think of angles and stuff to be able to talk about. Sometimes I'll take an angle that I don't even believe in just to piss people off. You know, you get people talking and stuff, but like, you as a musician, do you look at people like the Island Boys or whatever, and they're like, man, what the hell? They're not even taking any time to like write. See, I'm trying to set you up here. I'm trying to get a
soundbite from you. You're trying to get time. I hear it.
But what I'm trying to say though, like if I was a musician, I would be pissed. Like a struggling musician, if I've been working my ass off for like the last 10, 15 years, trying to write about my experiences and stuff. And then I see the Island Boys are at all the UFC matches. They're on every single big podcast. Even though they're getting stuff thrown at them, like they were at the Jake Paul fight over in Tampa and people were booing them and throwing crap at them. But they're still getting paid. Does that I don't know, bother you at all? Or like,
Honestly, like it doesn't, man. Like I don't like to count people's pockets. You know, it is what it is, man. If you found something, if you focused on the art of polarization and that worked for you and it's working for you and that's your get up, that's how you make your bread, all love to you, man. Like I know I just got to keep believing in my process. Cause yeah, like you said, like their chapter five might look different from my chapter 10. And that's just how it is sometimes, man. But it just how you got to stay the course. You know, if you want to stay true to yourself, if you got to, yes, understand that you do have to do some things to make, you know, to grab the people's attention. You got to be interesting in some way. You know, you can't just be like, you know, they don't get a lot of camera time where you just regular, you know, Joe Smoke, if you're just chilling, you're just being normal. I mean, I'm not saying you got to do some outlandish stuff and do something to where it's like, yo, I'm getting tattoos all over my face and you can't recognize me. I mean, that's a life. That's a life choice because that's going to stay there, you know? So it just depends on what image you're going to portray and what message you're trying to convey with the music. And it has to just all come together as a brand. If it works for them,
Tekashi, I will no. Yeah. Come on, man. Like, look, I'll be like your hype man, but I'll be the one that stirs all the crap up for you. Like I will start it. And then like, I'd be like, yo, man, that's one of Jay Saul's boys, man. We got to go after him. Yeah. Like, cause I'm good at getting under people's skin. Like just let me do the dirty work and you know, and then it'll be like associated. And then like, you know, you can throw a couple of digs out here and there and stuff. And then, like, you know what? I'll fight the Island Boys. I'll fight Jay. I'm not going to fight Jay Saul because Jay Saul looks kind of rugged.
Nah, you good.
But what I'm trying to say, though, Jay Saul, real quick, I want to talk about this personally. Like, you got a family and stuff. How old of a guy are you?
Oh, man, I'm 31. I don't got no family, man. So I stay strict to the music. I've been married to the game, man. These are so much sacrifices have happened, bro. I'm telling you, with relationships and everything, like, it's kind of
nothing serious.
I mean, nothing serious right now. Nah, man. Like, I mean, I am dating, I guess. Like, you know, yeah, I'm dating right now.
Wink, wink. No. Pop industry. Wink, wink. I'm dating. And then there's a whole bunch of ladies that are going to listen. Oh my God, he's talking about me.
Nah.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to blow you up.
Nah. But I am dating. I'm dating someone. So she's real cool, you know. But I haven't, like, nah, man. It's just a lot of, like, ups and downs that I've been in with relationships, man, that I tried to take serious and things went super left. And I've been dragged through the dirt. I'm not even going to lie, man. Sometimes it'd be like that. So I'm just like, yo, I can't waste so much energy going through like the heartbreak right now and doing all that stuff. Like, it does create good content because I can talk about everything I've been through.
Yes,
I can write about it. So I'm like, yo, I got to go through it. And it's cool. But I guess like right now, like, since I'm like focused, like, because I just got out of like something like not too long ago. And that was probably my craziest relationship. So I'm like,
no, baby,
right,
mama.
No baby mama, bro. No baby mama.
That's good. All right, good.
I'm happy that I'm just like, you know. But I mean, when the time is right, I'm definitely, yeah, I do want a family. Like, I do want to have kids and, you know, a wife and, you know, just do that. Do the whole family.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, man.
Nah, you good.
No, but what I'm trying to say, though, is like, you're all about marketing and doing all that stuff. You need to find some badass women to be able to be like, yo, Jay Saul, man, oh my God.
Oh my God.
He's got a discography, but I saw his dickography, and that's what I'm trying to say here. You know, like, you need to get some, need to start getting some women to tell some stories.
Oh, you're right, bro.
Some pictures and stuff. Be like, man, Jay Saul, man, ooh, I wasn't walking right for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh my God. And it was funny because, hey, like, about like a year and a half ago, I used to do like this thing because, okay, remember you talking about, hey, like the Island Boys, I had an image, bro, and I was going by Rico Suave. So I was had this image, bro, and at my whole record, I put out a single called Rico Suave, and it's under my old artist name because I rebranded.
So is it
old,
out there?
I gotta
find that.
My old artist name is Kalay, K-A-L-A-Y. So you gotta, you know, if you want to listen to the old music, it's there. But since I rebranded, I'm going to like put everything together with, eventually, like, I'm already in the process of doing that, so you can find everything under like, this is Jay. So, but yeah, so I did like the whole Rico Suave record, bro. Man, I shit you not, I was like at like clubs, like people would invite me just to go to the clubs, man, just to
that's
like turn up
do.
And I'd be the VIP guy, like I'd be the guy in the, I was the guy, like the crazy party guy for a minute, and then it just started taking its toll. I started getting older. Hangovers started hurting.
Yeah, you don't want to be guy in the look. I'm 42, man, and like, I've been sober for 2 years now, but even in the late 30s and stuff, man, like, holy crap. Right. I would see, because I had to get up at 3:30 in the morning, so I would just drink. Oh, and then it got to the point where the radio host, I was a co-host on the show, they would breathalyze me every morning when I would come in the morning. And but then they were just like, oh, he's just the alcoholic on the show, so he can come in. And then we had a vodka sponsor, and like every time I would get a big laugh or tell a funny joke, they would throw me one of those like airplane sized bottles of vodka. Oh, some mornings, like on a really good day before 10 a.m., I would already be like 8 shots in.
Sheesh.
And it was, yeah, it was not that great.
Right.
It really, really wasn't. But, you know, back to your alter ego, music ego. Mm-hmm. that, you know, Garth Brooks, I don't know. Everybody's heard of Garth Brooks. I don't care. Even if you're in Compton, California, right, you've heard of Garth Brooks.
I actually haven't. Who's Garth Brooks? I'm sorry.
Shut up.
You're gonna
whatever, dude. He actually had an alter ego where, you know, he was doing like this rock kind of like feminine type looking rock star hair metal band type guy. It was his alter ego was Chris Gaines.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, what is Garth doing? Because Garth had over 500,000 people at the Central Park concert he did. And we're talking about New York. Mm-hmm. People don't wear cowboy hats in New York. And guess what? Everybody in New York was being posers, walking around with cowboy hats on and stuff. And guess what? He was getting paid. He had Billy Joel come out on stage. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, man. But J-Saul, man, I really, really appreciated and enjoyed this conversation, man. I really would love to have you on again because I'm trying to branch out. You know, I'm making money off of my YouTube channel now since I'm monetized. And maybe we can get a live stream, maybe do some gaming or something like that.
Let's do it.
You know, I'm not. Well, you know what? I'll admit it. I'm trying to be a hanger-oner. If I can get it. If I can get any rub off of you, and by rub I mean just some stray followers that go to my way, like, come on, man, like, I'm a whore when it comes to trying to get people. That's exactly what I'm trying to do,
bro. I'm super down to get back on this podcast. Hey, let's do it, bro. Let's rub each other. Pause.
So was it bad, or you like, do you tell every other podcast that you're on, you're like, yeah, man, it was great, it was awesome. My favorite podcast of all time ever being on. No, come on, Jason.
No, this was great, bro. It was very, you made it easy, bro. It was entertaining. I had a great, great time on here. So
is that your artwork in the background? See, by the way,
no, it's not. It's from IKEA.
Oh, did you get the meatballs when you go to IKEA? Do they have the meatballs at the IKEA in Compton? Do they even have an IKEA in Compton?
No, it's in Carson. So
yeah, I was about to say it's too white. You know, you don't want a bunch of Swedish blonde hair Vikings taking over Compton. I mean, everybody like, oh my God, what's going on? Thor's here.
Oh man. Nah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they ever had meatballs, bro. I just went up there and I was like, I've never been. I don't even go to IKEA a lot. So it was just like once in a blue moon. So might have ran out that day.
IKEA is like, they're known. Maybe it's a Florida thing. They're like sweet and sour meatballs that they have there. I don't know why sweet and sour would be from a Swedish company, but they're grade A. You gotta get on that, man.
Yeah, I might have to go to IKEA today and just try them out. Like, hey, I heard you guys have to. I'm here for the meatballs. What's going on? I don't want no furniture.
I've always wanted to stay in one of those stores when they close and be there overnight. Bring a chicken there and be like, yo, we're going to bang on every single bed in IKEA. We're going to test out this furniture. Hell yeah.
Just leave all the sheets messed up. That's the vibes. We're going to destroy every sheets that I see in here. Let's do it.
Yeah. It would be like, when I finish, you can use it as glue to put your shady ass furniture together.
Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. Anyways, J-Saul, man, once again, before you go, tell my audience how they can check you out.
So you can check me out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at This Is J-Saul. And then you can look me up on Spotify, Apple Music at J-Saul. Check out Payroll, my new single, man. Appreciate everybody.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com. Or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations. What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.